Thousands of people contact InventHelp monthly about their invention or new product. Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Call InventHelp now. Best of all, the call and information are free. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential, explaining every step of the invention process. We create professional materials and submit them to companies who are looking for new ideas in your category. We have more than 9,000 companies who have agreed to review new ideas in confidence. If a company shows interest in manufacturing your invention, we can negotiate on your behalf. We have helped over 10,000 clients receive patents. We offer 3D modeling and animation, prototyping services, and we use state-of-the-art technology to present client ideas to additional companies. Join people just like you who made the call to InventHelp. You have nothing to lose.
Call us for free information at 1-800-460-1663. That's 1-800-460-1663. Again, 1-800-460-1663.
Welcome into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline, the interactive radio network program with the latest in high-tech products and services and the experts who bring them to you. This is Into Tomorrow. Here's Dave Graveline.
From the Dexcom G6 studios, the future of diabetes management is here. Visit DEXCOM.com to learn more. I am Dave Graveline.
I am Chris Graveline.
This, the broadcast for April Fool's Day weekend, but you would be hearing it either on Saturday or Sunday, April 2nd or 3rd, so it won't matter and we're not going to prank you.
Well, that's the April Fool's joke, that it's not really April Fool's Day now.
When you're hearing the show.
Yes.
But it, because we always use the Friday dates leading into every weekend, so people know when they want to come to intotomorrow.com, check the show notes and hear their calls and answers and all that fun stuff, we always use the Friday dates. So it's April Fool's Day show.
Right.
On Saturday or Sunday.
Correct.
The second or third.
Yeah.
All right. Have I yet mentioned to be sure and check your spam filters? I had two more just before we came to broadcast this very broadcast, legitimate emails that I found in my spam, and you tell me you don't check yours very often. What's up with that?
I've checked it, just not every day, but when I do, I haven't had any legitimate emails.
Nonsense.
The only person that ever emails me is you.
Malarkey. I had two more just earlier today. So that's the important thing about, I don't know what's going on with spam, but people are getting found in spam or stuck in spam lately. So do check your spam filters. Oh, and just as importantly, be sure to back up your important data regularly and often.
Yeah.
That might be considered one and the same, but
it might be redundant and repetitive all over again.
Just a little. We got some tech news and commentary for you, and then we're going to get to Lynn in South Carolina, among others, joining us on the program today with questions, comments, concerns, maybe some tech rage, whatever the case.
So right out of the box, just because I love getting you going on the subject of electric vehicles.
Oh, boy.
Canada is joining the ranks of countries and states planning to ban sales of combustion engine cars.
Oh, great.
Our friendly neighbors to the north have outlined an emissions reduction plan that will require all new passenger car sales to be zero emission models by 2035. Mm-hmm. The government will gradually ramp up pressure on automakers requiring at least 20% zero emission sales by 2026 and 60% by 2030. The country is also offering $1.7 billion Canadian dollars to extend incentives for buying electric cars and other zero-emissions vehicles.
So once again, just like here in the U.S., those of us who do not have EVs, electric vehicles, have to subsidize with our tax dollars those that want to get one.
Right. And I think those with electric vehicles should subsidize our fuel costs.
Especially these days.
Yes.
Now, I can hear people screaming at their radios. If you have not seen my most recent fake book post, I almost said Facebook, but fake book post, because that's what it is, the anti-social media platform, please visit at Dave Graveline. Feel free to follow me. I'll follow you back if you mention the show. And read what I wrote. I've gathered a bunch of information from multiple sources, mind you, okay? And it's not a political post, so don't go there. It's a post with accurate information about batteries, right? Mm-hmm. How they're made, what happens to them, not just batteries for electric vehicles, but all kinds of batteries. I've had a lot of people reacting to it and sending me messages about it and commenting and sharing the post. Feel free to check it out. And please tell me what you think. I've had some people that say, put me on your show and I'll debate you about this. Well, what's a debate? I'm listing information that occurs. All right. How batteries are built, the materials that have to be used, what happens to them when you think they're dead. They're not really. I mean, we've all had these flashlights that get ruined because you find one in a drawer, you haven't changed the batteries in forever, and they've got all this acid all over them. We talk about that in this post. Well, what do you think happens with all other kinds of batteries as well? And what do you think powers the batteries, especially rechargeable batteries? So just something that you might want to look at, take a gander.
And this is exactly why I like bringing up the subject of EVs.
Because it gets me going?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there you go. Do you have an EV?
No.
Do you plan to have one?
No. Well, not until I'm forced to, because they ban all other sales.
Exactly. But in the meantime, you want the roar of an engine.
You know, it was like years ago when cell phones came out. You lost the pleasure of being able to slam the phone down and hang up on somebody.
Yeah, because you'd crack your screen if you did that.
Right. You know, I like when I'm driving. I like, you know, when I'm finally passing someone slow, hitting the gas and hearing the engine as I go past them.
Okay. Now wait a minute. See, your son even points out your road rage. You got to stop that. And these days especially, you told me you were keeping an eye on your miles per gallon fuel consumption and how you were trying to save gas these days by not flooring it. And yet you just admitted to me and the world that you're doing anyway.
Well, because I'm saying that I can't do that in an electric vehicle. I don't get that roar of the engine as I angrily floor the gas pedal.
But people with electric vehicles can argue that you can go by someone much faster and quietly as you flip them off.
Yeah, that's true.
Speaking of electric vehicles, Elon Musk, chief executive of Tesla, or as he says, Tesla, said in many tweets that he's giving serious thought to creating a social media platform because Twitter is, quote, failing to adhere to free speech principle, close quote. He's absolutely right about that. Most people have asked him to just buy Twitter and turn it around. We can only hope and pray that he does that. Although, I think he should buy Twitter and shut it down.
That's a good idea.
What do you think? I mean, really. I mean, he can start it back up again when he allows other people to come back on and tweet and keep it, in fact, open for free speech. But I think he should just buy it, shut it all down, freak everybody out, and then just turn it on again because he'll have owned it and all the servers and everything, and he can just do what he wants with it. I think that would be awesome.
I'm hearing Gordon Ramsay in my head now. Shut it down.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we'll see what happens. I hope he does buy Twitter, but I think if he just starts another anti-social media platform, it'll be like Truth Social that the ex-president has done, which we hear has not taken off so well, a lot of technical issues.
The one that I signed up for like 2 months ago, and my waitlist number hasn't changed a single digit since then.
Yeah, you were like 300,000 something?
289,000 and change.
Gee, you know. Wow. And I couldn't even do it because I'm a droid. So last I heard, they're still not making it available yet.
You're not missing anything.
Apparently not if you can't get on it. Yeah. So that's what concerned me about Elon if he were to do his own brand new one, although he's got the money and the smarts and the engineers and everybody else to actually make it work if he does that. But why do another one? My gosh, there's way too many out there as it is. And instead, buy Twitter, shut it down. And at some point, a couple of weeks later, maybe, open it back up again and invite everybody on it.
There you go.
I think that would be truly awesome. Mark our words on the April Fool's Weekend show, although I'm very serious about that. It's not a prank. Not punking anyone.
The U.S. Federal Communications Commission has deemed all products and services from the Russia-based cybersecurity firm Kaspersky an unacceptable risk to national security. According to the FCC's release, the move comes in an effort to uphold 2019's Secure and Trusted Communications Networks Act, which requires the agency to publish a list that details any communications equipment or services which may present a risk to national security. The FCC published its so-called covered list for the first time in March 2021, when it named Chinese companies like Huawei, ZTE, and Hikvision, among others. With this year's update, Kaspersky is the only company based in Russia. The company's inclusion on the list means that it's banned from receiving support from the FCC's Universal Service Fund. According to Reuters, the $8 billion fund is used to maintain communication services in rural areas and for low-income users and facilities.
Interesting.
And, you know, and that probably, I'm sure, means that they're urging federal or government entities to not have Kaspersky software installed in any government computer.
And that's a shame, because we've had Kaspersky on the show over the years, and they've had really good software for antivirus and fighting malware and things of that nature. But understandably, if there, in fact, is any chance of control by the Russian government, then they're not to be trusted these days.
Yeah, of course, you know, you heard me mention on that list one of the companies, Hikvision, which is the parent company to EasyViz, which you have some EasyViz security cameras installed. You know.
So much for security.
Yeah.
Of course, then again, we've also got, Eagle Eye. We also have some half the time not working Ring cameras. We've got Simply Safe that really is more Simply Sucks cameras. A bunch of stuff that we test regularly that are in and around our studios and my house and so forth. And I figure if somebody's invading my privacy, go for it. You know, you want to see me walk around in my boxers? That's your business. but they're mostly for outside in my various perimeters to the Grave Lion Man's. You know. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Instagram officially introduced two new options last week, allowing users to view their feed in chronological order, favorites and following. Favorites seems most useful if you want to keep track of a handful of your IRL friends who may not post as frequently as other creators or accounts you might also follow. It's also the closest Instagram has ever come to offering a list to help you sort who you follow, like Twitter does, frankly. The fix isn't permanent, however, and the app will continue to throw you back to the algorithmic feed, and especially forcing you to see anything that they're making any money on.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, my biggest issue with Facebook is, you know, unless you go in and select the timeline setting, it's you're always seeing things in the order that Facebook wants you to see them in. And sometimes, as you and I have discussed, you've done posts that I haven't seen in 4 or 5 days since you posted because Facebook didn't want me to see it.
Exactly. Like my recent post about batteries.
Yeah.
And it starts off with, this is worth the read. Take the time. Might take you all of 2 minutes, 3 minutes at the most, I think, to read through it. But then tell me what you think. Share it if you are so inclined. React if you are so inclined. Follow me if you are so inclined. All the anti-social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, LinkedIn, anything you can think of. I'm pretty much on everything because of the show, at Dave Graveline. The at sign, Dave Graveline, one word, whatever, one name. And if you mention the show, as I always say, I'll follow you back. So there you go. Follow for follow, I think they say.
There you go. Yeah. Here's something cool. About 50 years
We'll be the judge of that.
About 50 years ago, in December of 1972, NASA astronauts Eugene Cernan and Harrison Schmitt drilled into the surface of the moon to collect lunar soil samples for transport back to Earth.
Mm-hmm.
This week, NASA finally opened one of the vacuum-sealed samples for the first time.
And they waited especially then, in order to do this.
Right. The tube is a time capsule, not only from the deep geological history of the moon, but also from an earlier time in the space age when our tools were more primitive.
Ah.
Lori Glaze, director of NASA's Planetary Science Division, said that NASA knew science and technology would evolve and allow scientists to study the material in new ways to address new questions in the future. So they purposely kept these, and I believe there's another one as well. They haven't opened yet, but kept this sample so that in the future, when our science has become more advanced, we can study them in new ways, and that's what they're doing.
I think that's terrific. It reminds me of DNA. You know, has changed dramatically since I was a police officer, especially as a homicide detective, and the things that you can do with DNA now that we couldn't then, because that's why you save evidence and you store things and you open old cold cases, and I think that's great that NASA had, now have they indicated yet that they've been able to do anything differently with these 50 years, right?
Yeah.
50-year-old rocks?
They haven't. The testing has just started, so I'm sure we're going to be hearing some cool things soon coming from NASA.
Yeah. Oh, I like that idea very much. We'll have to see what happens. Lynn in Trenton, South Carolina, listens online at intotomorrow.com. Welcome into tomorrow, Lynn.
Hey, guys. I live in a rural area of South Carolina. Many years ago, I had a hotspot through AT&T, and it worked great. I got a couple of updated ones through them over the years, but of course, there was always a small added charge. Well, this last one quit on me, and when I called for an updated one, whoever I was talking to didn't even know about hotspots.
Oh.
I tried explaining to him, and oh my gosh, it was even pictured on my account. Lord have mercy. Seriously. He told me he could send me one for $500.
What?
I said, are you kidding me? After that, I switched over to Consume Your Cellular, but they don't have hotspots either. My question is, why can't I just buy a hotspot somewhere? They did that with my iPad. I put a SIM card in from Consume Your Cellular into my iPad, and everything worked great. But I just want y'all to help me and tell me where I can go buy a hotspot. Verizon doesn't work here where I live, nor does T-Mobile, and I don't even want to deal with AT&T. Bless your hearts if you can answer these questions. I know it's not as big a technical question as maybe you normally have, but I need help. Thank you.
Oh, well, thank you, Lynn, for calling in. And we do our best to help all of our listeners, but certainly your issue, and bless your heart for calling us and letting us help you out. Surprisingly, finding a standalone hotspot is getting harder and harder, as you've discovered. Maybe having hotspot data included in every smartphone plan is killing them. Now, you say T-Mobile and Verizon don't work at your house. So, unfortunately, that leaves you with only one choice, AT&T. Even though you said you don't want to deal with them, those three are the only network providers. All others actually use one of those three networks. Consumer Cellular, as you mentioned, many others. Everybody says, oh, no, I don't deal with the big three. Trust me, I use so-and-so. Well, they use the big three. That's just how that works. AT&T, for example, is only selling three models at the moment. The Netgear Nighthawk, this is the one that costs $500, an old-style stick of the kind that you plug into a laptop, and an in-car hotspot that looks like it plugs into an OBD2 port, the onboard diagnostics port in a car.
Yeah, and outside of AT&T, things don't really get much easier. Everyone seems to be largely stepping away from those standalone hotspot devices. Now, the exceptions are T-Mobile and Verizon's 5G home internet, which look and act more or less like traditional modem router combos. But unfortunately, AT&T hasn't jumped into that game. And to be honest, if you're in a rural area, I wouldn't really hold your breath for 5G connectivity anyway.
Yeah, I mean, we're promised 5G wireless connectivity all around. I've got some at my house, but you don't have any at yours.
Right.
And you're a couple of miles away. So, yeah, don't hold your breath for that. Now, outside of AT&T's official offerings, the only other option seems to be to buy an older device through a site like Amazon or eBay. There are plenty of older model hotspots up for sale that are definitely not equal, unfortunately. The hotspot device that AT&T is currently selling is a gigabit device. Some of the ones you'll see for sale online have bandwidth limits of as little as 100 megabytes per second, which might do the job for you, again, especially in a rural area. So depending on what you're used to, that may be acceptable or not.
Yeah, it's also worth just going to AT&T's website and trying to get the current device through them rather than through a rep. It's currently listed for $250, not $500.
Oof.
And they're offering to finance it at about $7 a month for 36 months without interest.
And that might be the way to go for you, Lynn, because if you can justify that expense of $7 a month, zero interest, you're not at least having to pay more. But you have to make sure that they will allow you to use it. And if it doesn't work, get you out of that contract, take it back. Clearly, they should be doing that.
Yeah, you just have to keep in mind that $7 a month is for the device itself. You still have to pay for the data for the hotspot, which is usually going to be probably between $50 and $70 a month.
Right. And that's the AT&T that she doesn't want to deal with, and we don't blame her. Let us know what you end up doing, Lynn, because it'll certainly help other listeners. And we'll keep our fingers and eyes crossed all the way into tomorrow.com.